Large international law firms advise wealthy clients on their asset management, and in that context, they also advise them on how they can acquire different passports for their families and for themselves, for estate planning and for other reasons. And so that's the market itself. And this just started to really balloon since the financial crisis, in part because there was a very rapid increase in wealth in emerging markets. So the clientele was there. But we also think the service providers saw this opportunity and started to market the product, first by advising governments how they can make their laws more friendly towards this type of investor, and then marketing, bringing the clients to the countries to show that this is doable.
And Ahmed, do you think the ability to move from country to country becomes so difficult with all the extra security in recent years that there are people now willing to invest some of their money in countries that will, in return, give them greater freedom of movement?
Since 9/11, a lot of things have changed, and there have been more travel restrictions and more scrutiny as well. And nationals from countries that passport that they're holding does not enjoy a lot of global mobility do take the opportunity to invest in countries with the added incentive of being naturalized as citizens, and that gives them higher mobility to travel. Of course, high net worth individuals are interested in that kind of thing. Businessmen would like to fly to Europe without the hassle of going through visa processes.
I would kind of describe it in two ways. There's a growth of a new middle class in emerging markets. These are very well-educated people with lots of assets, but when it comes to travel, they are treated like third-class citizens. And with the growth of wealth of these individuals, they're saying, I don't have to be treated this way. I can, for a relatively modest investment, I'll explain why modest in a second, I can actually acquire either a resident visa that will allow me access to all the Schengen countries, or a Caribbean passport that would also allow me access to all the European countries, plus 120-odd countries without any hassle.
So what kind of investment are we talking about?
Different programs have different kind of thresholds for investment and different type of investments as well. So I will use Portugal as an example, where the scheme in Portugal is you have to buy a property that has a value of about €500,000. And with that, you get a residence visa in Portugal where you have to reside 7 days a year.
A minimum residency requirement.
And many of these programs have extremely minimal residency requirements. The Caribbean programs are different. These are citizenship programs where you get a passport. The Caribbean countries, for the most part, do not have any residency requirement. The cost varies. The lowest is in Dominica, and you need to make an investment of $100,000 to the government. And then it increases in St. Kitts. It's the minimum investment is $250,000 to their development fund, and up to $400,000 for investment in real estate. The investment in real estate is attractive because you have the possibility to resell that within 5 years, but you still retain your citizenship and your passport.
So the revenues generated by these programs, are they significant enough to make a difference in a country's economy? You know, the economic growth of a country.
For small states, we believe they do. The very stark example is St. Kitts and Nevis, where we've seen inflows exceeding 25% of GDP. And when I say that, I'm talking about inflows both as contributions to the government and investments in real estate. So that's a very sizable figure.
So does it translate into jobs?
Yes. And Cyprus as well, by the way. The inflows are quite of significant magnitude and make a real difference in the construction and real estate and tourism sector, because a lot of these end up being properties that are then for rent, like condominium rentals and timeshares and such.